Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, all you wonderful, wonderful F1 fans out there listening not only around the world, but here in the home of F101, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas to everybody out there. If you're hearing my voice, it can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. Welcome to a special year-end wrap-up of F101. Did you miss me? Taking a couple of weeks off from the very last race of the 2024 F1 season, we all know what time it is now. It is time for the year in review. This is the time where I will break down all 10 teams, all 20 drivers, give them my opinion of where they went wrong in the season and what to look forward to in the 2025 season. This is part one of two. Let's get right into it right now. We're starting with team number 10, Kick Sauber Ferrari, only a whopping 4 points in the Constructors' Championships, dead last. Drivers Valtteri Bottas with 0 points, Zhou Guan Yu with the only 4 points of the season. What can I say about this team? Until it turns in to the future team in 2026, Kick Sauber is officially, in my opinion, a 100% waste of space. They're not trying to develop the car. They are not trying to help the drivers in any sense of the word at all, period. They have kept the structure in place, which is good for Audi in 2026. So they've got familiar faces around. They know what they're doing. They understand where they need to go. They're just not getting there. Kick, the new sponsorship for the 2024-2025 season, has done absolutely sweet fuck all to help them with their actual race to get points, to climb the Constructors' Championship, hell, to get in the top 10 more than once this entire season. It's officially a flagship of what not to do in the F1 world, in my opinion. And because of all of this, unfortunately, it has dragged down Zhou Guan Yu and Valtteri Bottas in the 2024 season. It makes them look like they don't know what they're doing, and we know both drivers know exactly what they're doing. Valtteri Bottas signed up for Kick Sauber because he wanted a challenge. He wanted a team that he could help build from the ground up. Well, unfortunately, and not because of his own fault, this entire team has driven into the ground, not out of the ground. Will this team, if it wasn't, let's step back for a second. If it wasn't for Audi coming in 2026, would this team still be around? Absolutely fucking not. It is a waste of space. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of talent. It's a waste of money. And it is a waste of two talented drivers that could definitely go somewhere else. Now, with Cadillac coming in potentially the 2026 season, I do think that it's going to add a little bit more diversity to the team, to diversity to the grid, which is good. But at the same time, I know Audi's coming in to take care of the Kick Sauber team, but I think with all this updue competition, we're going to get rid of a team by the time 2027 or 2028 comes around. There is officially no more room in the grid for mediocre to shit teams, Kick Sauber being one of them. Unfortunately, I mean, Haas, I believe, had a good season, but I think they're still on the lower tier of that team. What else could you go with it? V-Carb, that team, I think, is going to be on the way out in 2028 just because they got so much good talent coming in. But for 2024 season, I digress. There's not a whole lot to say about Kick Sauber. I'm struggling to find positives to talk about it. They had a good-looking car. Too bad it just didn't run, period, whatsoever. What do I see for the 2025 season? I do see them at the bottom of the grid again. And again, it's not going to be because of the drivers. It's going to be because of the development direction they're going in, which is the wrong development, or they're just not going to develop the car at all, because when Audi comes in, they're obviously going to want to focus on the 2026 car and kind of just ignore the 2025 car, which means it's going to be another very, very, very painful year for Kick Sauber. I don't anticipate them getting any more than 8 points in the 25 season. It's just going to be another embarrassment, and they're just essentially going to be there to make every other team look good, unfortunately. Moving on, team number 9 with 14 points. It is Williams Mercedes driver Alex Albon, Logan Sargeant. It's a team on the way up. Now, they were second to last, obviously, but it wasn't by, you know, leaps and bounds. The closest team to them, it would have been Kiksalba with 4 points. Next after them is going to be the V-Carb Honda team with 46. So they're kind of in a good spot. Everybody knows that Williams is on the uptick. They're on the development cycle that's going to take them a season or two to get things right. Now, lucky for Williams, they're on the up peak now. Alex Albon has really come into his own. Logan Sargeant, massive disappointment. Waste of space, should have been given up a lot earlier than he was. But like I said, with the new regulations coming in 2026, this is a really good opportunity for Williams to really strive for something new, something exciting, and something very, very, very competitive. But in the 24 season, it was a proving ground for Alex Albon. He proved that he is no longer the Red Bull reject that everybody kind of thought he was for a season or two. He's officially come into his own. Williams Mercedes is his team. He is the number one driver. He showed it with really good durability this season. A lot of strong finishes. Wasn't always in the top 10. He wasn't always catching points, but you could see where he wanted to go. You could see the development of where he wanted to. This is how I go from step A to step B to step C. You could see him following that pattern. You could see him trying really, really hard. Unfortunately for him, what happened for this team this year, they came into financial difficulties. What they blamed on the lack of parts, chassis difficulties. There was a weekend where both him back-to-back, essentially, Albon trashed a chassis, and then Logan Sargeant destroyed a chassis as well. They didn't have enough for the next race. Logan Sargeant decided to sit out so Albon could race. He ended up destroying that car as well, missing all of qualifying. Like, it was just an entire beginning of a season that was just, it was horrible. If, in my opinion, Williams didn't have the slow start like they did this season, they would have been a lot higher than ninth. Alex Albon would have been able to score some points. Now, how much higher would they would have been? I would have put them in seventh and potentially sixth. They've got a lot of potential. They're going in the right decision. But when you start off a season with non-carbon fiber parts, when you start off your season with essentially really thin metal parts, you're losing track time. They knew this coming in. The parts were not ready. The car looks good, but if it doesn't go fast, then what's the point of something pretty? It just didn't work in this case. So if they start off the 2025 season in the total opposite direction they did for the 24, they're going to be in a much, much better place. 15 races in, Logan Sargeant was dropped. Kyle Pinto was brought in. I think they needed to do this a lot, like substantially sooner than what they did. Now, did Kyle Pinto really light it up when he first came in? Not so much. He got points in his first two races. It wasn't a shocking amount of points, but he did show that he was capable of doing what Logan Sargeant couldn't. Now, hindsight being 2020, obviously they could have brought him in a lot sooner. They just had such faith in Logan Sargeant, and I don't understand why they kept him around for 15 races. I would have said after 5, because you have this trajectory, you want to go up, you want to get better. What's the point in keeping a driver that's not contributing around? Yeah, Alex Albon is doing the best that he could. His shoulders are broad, but it's not that broad. You bring in Kyle Pinto, you know what he can do. You know his pedigree, you know his history. Why not bring him in super early? Hopefully Williams has learned from this lesson. Kyle Pinto is officially in for the 2025 season. I see big things looking to 2025. Kyle Pinto is back to the reserve area, the reserve world. They're bringing in Carlos Sainz, which on paper is fantastic. Carlos Sainz has got a ton of experience. He comes from Ferrari, which is good to a certain extent, but how well will Carlos do in essentially a developing team? Ferrari it's in the top 3 teams. It's at the pinnacle of F1 racing. Williams, it used to be the pinnacle of F1 racing. Now it's at the bottom. It's not quite a joke, but it's that scrappy kid that's going to try really hard during a test and do the best that he can. And you see that slow progression. A good step for the progression is bringing in Carlos Sainz. Not only that, but Carlos Sainz brings in ridiculous amounts of sponsorship money. The the banking sponsorship he brings in is estimated worth being $740 billion. Like, it's an insane amount of money that he's bringing to the team, which could potentially mean better buildings, better parts, parts that come out on time. And you're not going to have, if someone does have a crash, you're not going to have the situation where, well, which driver is going to drive now? Is Carlos Sainz going to drive because we don't have enough parts? Is Albon going to drive because we don't have enough parts? I do see a massive, massive driver fight in Williams for the 2025 season. Alex Albon, like I keep saying, he's in his own element, which is fantastic, but Carlos Sainz is not going to just sit by and watch Albon take over the team. He's going to come in, he's going to give his experience, and he's also going to give Albon a run for his money. The thing is, though, how is Sainz going to respond to a less than spectacular car? Does he have the patience? Does he have the contract patience to stay there for, I'm going to say, 3, 4, 5 years? Because when 2026 comes, it's new regulations. It's a brand new car all over again. But for the 2025 season, I do see Williams to improve. I do see them in the 7th or 8th constructors spots. They will go up, maybe not as much as they want bringing Carlos Sainz in, but it's going to be a learning season before it's a brand new season for regulations, no matter what. Moving on, the 8th place team, it is the VCARB, officially named the RB Honda RBPT team, also known as VCARB, also known as just a waste of space and a really bad nickname. Drivers, Yuki Tsunoda, Daniel Ricciardo, and Liam Lawson near the end of the season. Grand total of 46 points. This team, now, as much as I absolutely hate them for what they did to Danny Ric, they handled this transition the worst you possibly could do. It was a black eye on the team, is a black eye on Formula One. It really showed that cash is definitely king. Lewis Hamilton said it right. If you're not bringing in the cash, you're not the king. And Daniel Ricciardo had, you know, he had a bad start. He had a broken wrist, and then the car wasn't performing for him. At the same time, Yuki Tsunoda grew up at the right time for him, bad time for Danny Ric. Yuki Tsunoda brought in the majority of the points this season for the 2024 season. He really, now, not to say that he's now officially a mature driver, but he had more mature moments. He would have a frustrating moment, and you wouldn't see the outbursts that we're all used to Yuki Tsunoda doing. Take a moment, figure out what he did. He'd say it was his fault, and then the next race, when that situation would come along, he wouldn't do the same mistake. He learned from what he is doing. The direction of this team, I do think, is an absolute upward direction. They've got better aerodynamics on the car. They're understanding the direction then they need to go better for them. It's not just a copy paste from Red Bull to the sister team. They've officially figured that out. One full season before brand new regulations come in, but they figured out that what works for Red Bull doesn't necessarily work well for them. So they're starting to branch out. They're finding their own identity, you know, one more time. Keeping Danny Ric around for 18 races, Danny Ric out for 18 races. I love Danny Ric. Most of you guys do too, but I do think it was a little late. It was keeping the bandage on a little bit too long, and then by the time you pulled it, it was worse than what it needed to be. After 10 races, you could see the direction that Daniel Ricciardo was going at VCARB, and it wasn't a good direction. They needed to pull the pin at the mid-season break. They needed to do it a lot more elegantly than they did. They should have done it at the break. You finish the last race, you go to the break, and then you don't come back. You do the social media thing, you do the media trivia or the media appearances. All of a sudden, Liam Lawson's in, then you can get back into the rhythm. You have an entire half a season with two drivers, one learning how the other one reacts, and you just can build from there. Lawson found points in the third race that he was in. So it was a good, good trajectory for him. It's a good start for Lawson as long as he stays at the team. But we're going to get to that in a minute. As far as Yuki Tsunoda goes, the 2024 season was one of the most successful seasons he has had in recent memory. He showed up. He matured. He knew what he needed to do, and he did the best to his ability. They had another name change. They went from Visa Cash App Red Bull 2025. They're changing their name yet again. They will now be called the Racing Bulls. They are officially dropping the Red Bull or the Cash App part of the name. Just more, it's easier to understand. it's less confusing. It's less of a mouthful for the broadcasters. It's still recognizable as their own team, and yet you're still going to recognize that you're still part of the Red Bull family. So I think it's a good change. It's a little less consistent than this team would like to have. I mean, they did have a slow car at the beginning of the season. I mean, like they said, they're kind of coming back from the black eye and from getting rid of Daniel Ricciardo. So having your name change yet again doesn't necessarily help the situation, but at least it's clean, it's precise, it's racing bulls. You're going to see the color difference as you always would in 2025. So I think it's one good thing coming out of this season. Looking forward for 2025, I think there is one major thing that this team absolutely needs to overcome, and it is the stigma that they are still Red Bull's little brother team. And that is essentially where your career kind of, at least in this development tube, this is where your career kind of dies. Perfect example, and like I said, we're going to get into it in a minute, and we're going to get into it right now. Liam Lawson has been signed to replace Checo Perez for 2025 season and moving forward in Red Bull. Getting passed over is Yuki Tsunoda yet again. He's still stuck in VCarp. If there's a guy that has not shown or has shown more to the Red Bull family that he deserves at least a shot, there's no one out there more than Yuki Tsunoda that does. But that being said, has Yuki reached his ceiling at VCarb? Does he need to go somewhere else? Is staring at that prize going, I'm going to one day drive for Red Bull, is that distraction that's just holding him back? Like I said, he shouldn't have been passed over for Liam Lawson, but Liam Lawson also at the same time really proved that he needed to be in Formula One. He deserved to be there. He deserves to drive for arguably one of the best teams in Formula One. And Yuki just, I mean, you had a great year. One out of 3 years, you've had a great year. You haven't been able to step in at the beginning of the season and just dominate like Lawson did when he showed up. Not a lot of prep time. Hey, this is what you're doing. By the way, you're in tomorrow and you're in for the rest of the season. And he just continued on and he grabbed it by the horns. He took that opportunity, no pun intended. He took that opportunity and he went with it as best as he absolutely could. They're bringing in Isaac Hadjar, an F2 racer that's been in the development pipeline for Red Bull for quite a few years. F2 in two seasons, he got second in 24. 1 year in F3, he got third. Does he deserve to be in VCarb? Yes. Is he going to make Red Bull anytime soon? I don't think so. I do see that if Max does eventually retire, or if Lawson does get shipped off somewhere else, Isaac Hadjar will take over Yuki Tsunoda's place, and then Yuki will go up into Red Bull finally and replace whoever leaves. I think that's going to be their developmental cycle. If in 2025, for whatever reason, if someone in Red Bull gets hurt and Isaac Hadjar gets called up before Yuki Tsunoda does, Yuki Tsunoda's career is officially over, in my opinion. Number seven, 58 points, Team Haas Ferrari drivers Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg. I am labeling this season Life After Steiner Found. First full season without Günther Steiner at the helm. I think they've done a very fantastic, fantastic job. Huge momentum forward for this team. Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen have been notoriously not good teammates in the past. They have driven together. This year, it just kind of came together. Really, really, really good spot for them. I mean, it was one of those. Magnussen was down for a race ban. Behrmann come in even more experience than he needed. The team still ran really well together. They've got the developmental cycle in the proper direction for 25. Apparently the 26 car is going to be something that will compete with the upper team. So 2024 season for Haas, it was really, really good. It's what this team deserved. Are they a top five team? Maybe in the next few years, if everything goes really, really right and some of the top teams kind of slow down. But my prediction for the 2025 year is they're going to continue to climb. They finished seventh in 24. I think they're going to finish either sixth or fifth in 2025 just because they're going to take that momentum that they definitely earned and they fought really, really hard for. Now, that being said, both drivers are gone. You've now got Esteban Ocon coming in and Ollie Bearman, who has stepped up when Kevin Magnussen got that racing ban. I mean, it's a good trajectory they're going on with two veteran drivers. Now they need to be able to keep that direction going in 2025 with two teammates that have never driven together, and one is another rookie full-time in F1. Now, Ollie Bearman has a lot of, and I mean a lot of experience. He had arguably a little bit more experience than Nick DeVries when he came in. We all know what happened to him, but I think Ollie Bearman's going to be a good mash with Ocon for Haas. It's a clean start for everybody. Nobody knows anybody. It's a really good opportunity to them to get that family feel going again in Haas. Hopefully Gene Haas will put more money into Haas in 2025. He's not just going to rely on sponsorships, but hey, Gene Haas is all about the US dollar. And if he can't make money, he's just going to absolutely fuck this team in 2025. Now, with that being said, do I see either Bearman or Ocon getting on the podium? I've had this question a couple times and I've thought about it. I can legitimately see a Haas on the podium in 2025. Now, it's not going to necessarily be because of the performance of the car. It's going to be the performance of the driver. And they've got two drivers that are anxious to prove themselves. They're hungry for win. They want those points. So I think it's going to be a really, really good prediction on my part, I think, that we are going to see a Haas on the podium in 2025. Moving to number six, it is Team Alpine at 2024 drivers was Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon, 65 points. And I am labeling this the team that couldn't get out of its own way, and that is 100% true. They fired four senior staff left in the 2024 season. Now, these were important people. These were not just senior staff that have been there forever that can, they're interchangeable quite easily. Not even a little bit. At one point, they got rid of one senior staff member, and they needed to bring in three extra people to replace what he did. Now, is this the right direction for Alpine? It was an okay move for them by mid-season. I think if they were going to do all the senior changes, they should have done it at the beginning of the season before the season started. That way they could essentially get out of their own way. Another thing that didn't help for the 2024 season, even though they got six, was 65 points. Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon do not like each other. This is a perfect example of two racers barely getting along because it's their job. There were plenty of instances where Ocon would take out Gasly. Gasly would take out Ocon, whether it was accidental on purpose or just a stupid move or a stupid idea. They just could not win or get points because of themselves. It's also moving into 2025. It's the last year that they're a Renault Works team. So again, something brand new to come in for this team. But with that looming in the 24 season, they didn't exactly push it that hard. They didn't make the right decisions when it came to staff. They definitely didn't make the right decisions when it comes to keeping the drivers together. They knew it was Esteban Ocon's last season. So why did they keep him in for the entire season? He got some points. He didn't exactly light it up. In my opinion, he caused more damage than he did good. They should have just cut a check for him and just got him out of the way sooner rather than later. But hey, that's them, not me. To give it in perspective, Esteban Ocon had 5 races with points. Pierre Gasly had 9 races with points. It's the lowest point total they've had in 4 seasons. They just should have got rid of him sooner. They should have brought in Jack Doohan because he is the replacement driver for Alpine. Give him some experience, more than just one race at the end of the season. It's like, hey, Ocon's not exactly a teammate. Yes, we're going to end up pulling some points off the sheet, but is that really worth more than giving your backup driver more experience coming into the next season? I think they should have pulled him in a lot, and I mean a lot sooner. Looking up the outlook for the 2025 season, Jack Doohan, I mean, he's got nowhere to go but up. So he has probably the least amount of pressure on him that any rookie has in the 2025 season. Yes, they were 6th in the Constructors' Championship at the end of the season. They didn't give him a whole lot of time. He does know what he's doing, obviously, or he wouldn't be here. But to replace Esteban Ocon successfully, I think you don't need to get more than 5 races with points. I think you just need to get a better result. You just need to be a better teammate at Alpine, and he will do just fine. I give him a half a season before he knows exactly what he needs to do, and then he starts to perform like we think he should be able to. Pierre Gasly is just going to be, it's his year to shine. He is the number one driver at Alpine. He needs to prove him to himself that it wasn't just a pissing competition with Ocon that took away all these points, that he knows what he's doing, that they made the right decision keeping him around, that he will bring in the majority of the points, bring in the majority of the membership money or the sponsorship money, and keep Alpine where they are. Now, Are they going to stay in the sixth spot? I'm going to say no, unfortunately for them, just because Jack Doohan is just such an unknown entity in Formula One driving. I think they're only going to drop to seventh. They're going to drop one place, in my opinion, just because it's going to take Jack a full year to get into. Plus, don't forget, all these teams, it's their last year of development for the 2025 car. They're going to start looking towards the 26 car already because of the new regulation. So at some point, each team is going to be like, well, you know what? This is our car. This is what we have for the 25 season. Deal with it as best you can, because the new parts we can't put on because it's for the 2026 regulation time. I see bright things for Alpine. They need to stop bringing in different investors. They need to stop distracting the team from what they need to do. And that's just concentrate on driving, drive fast, drive clean, and have a really good team environment. Well, folks, that is the bottom five for this part one of 2 year end in review. I hope you guys are enjoying it, and stay tuned because here comes part two.